little Philip Glass telling us that it's 6 o'clock.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM, streaming at ckuw.ca. We hope you've enjoyed listening to us and stay tuned. CKUW is managed by the Winnipeg Campus Community Radio Society in accordance with CRTC and Industry Canada rules and regulations. As a not-for-profit radio station, CKUW is a member of the National Campus Community Radio Association and adheres to their statement of principles to provide an alternative voice. CKUW operates on a frequency of 95.9 MHz on the FM band with 450 watts effective radiated power, or ERP. Our transmitter is located at 7 Evergreen Place in Osborne Village. Programming originates from our downtown studios at the University of Winnipeg in Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. We would like to hear from you and welcome your ideas to improve listening, which will be heard on CKUW in years to come. Address your comments and suggestions to CKUW 95.9 FM, Room 4C, M11, 515 Portage Avenue, Winnipeg, Manitoba, R3B 2E9. You can also call 204-786-9782 or email us at ckuw@uwinnipeg.ca. This is Donald Myers speaking for the Board of Directors, staff, and volunteers of CKUW 95.9 FM. Thank you for listening and stay tuned for more great community radio.
This is CKUW 95.9 FM. We're broadcasting from Winnipeg, Manitoba, on occupied Anishinaabe Aking, the homeland of the Métis and the historical territory of the Nahiyawak and the Nakota.
Good morning, friends. I'm Ron Robinson.
And I'm Carol McKibben.
We are the Saturday Morning Show, here for you for the next 2 hours, 6 until 8. And then it's Green Planet Monitor, following that at 9, Mud Puddle Radio. This half hour, we'll take a look at the weather for you, the sports. How about those Bombers? How about those Bombers?
How about those Oilers?
Well, yes, there's still oil. Noisy skate gets... never mind. And as well, Carol on the Roof and a little Judy Garland for you and a voice.
I don't mind going up on the roof today.
Okay.
It's nice out.
We should get that song for you, Up on the Roof. Well, very pleasant to walk in this morning. I did not hear a single siren, Carol McKibben.
That's true, but we did see a couple of Looney Tunes out there.
Well, I was going to say lost souls, actually.
Lost souls.
Drifting.
Yes.
And a look on his face of, was thundercloud, I would say. Yeah. And one small bunny trying to
Very
get into
small.
The university.
Yes.
Now you've got to
the
have
little
grade
young
12
before, yes.
to get in, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, wait a minute, that might have been part of the collegiate, too, so I'll take that back.
Well, I think even young for the collegiate.
He was.
Tiny. I think that
not even bunny a meal.
Would
Carol,
have
just
trouble
a,
getting any kindergarten.
That bunny was a snack, not a proper meal. Now,
oh,
what about
bad.
The weather?
Oh yes, well, weather. 17 degrees out there already. Barometric pressure 101.5, but falling. Humidity 68%, and the wind calm.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, it's going to be. Fairly cloudy today, though. 30% chance of showers early this morning. We didn't see any reference to showers
Mm-mm.
on our walk. 60% chance of showers or thunderstorms late in the afternoon. Wind coming from the southeast at 20 early in the afternoon. The high today just 25, humidex 28. But the UV index is 7, that's high. So if you're going to be out for any period of time, make sure you cover up, wear sunglasses.
Right, you
Very
are.
Important.
Right, you are.
Macular degeneration, as you know.
4 minutes after 6,
yes.
We turn to our Dancing and Romancing of the 1940s.
Right.
So this morning, we'll start, go back to 1945 for Stan Kent and his orchestra. That band had two faces back then, brassy and noisy and all the rest of it. On the other side, of course, with their vocalists. Well, they changed vocalists, and we'll tell you more about her after we listen.
on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
Mexican art made in Idaho.
Ay, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
The senoritas they wave when you arrive at the dock. The native costumes they wear are slacks and bobby socks.
Ay, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
You buy some pottery there to beat the luxury tag. You find that when you get home, they sell it cheaper at Saks.
Ay, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
Fellas, dig that square.
Ay, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
Show of hands. What was the title of that song? Good for you. Good for you. Tampico, it was.
I just know they make the souvenirs in Idaho.
Apparently
today
so.
They used to make them in Hong Kong.
Who knew?
Hmm.
Tampico from 1945.
Yes.
Stan Kenna's orchestra. They mentioned two different kinds of orchestras here. The flashy, brassy, flamboyant, innovative jazz instrumentals such as Artistry and Rhythm, the Peanut Vendor, Intermission Riff. On the other, the band had a notable commercial success with Anita O'Day singing, and her tears flowed like wine. Remember that one? But she left, and her replacement was a 20-year-old Midwesterner named Shirley Luster, who quickly picked up O'Day's sound and phrasing, changed her name to June Christie. And that's who we heard. Became Ken's best-known singer. Our most famous record of the band was this that we heard, a number two hit, and a million seller at 8 minutes after six. I think it's time to go to sleep now. Yes. So we turn once again to...
You're supposed to be waking people up, Ron.
The most relaxing... Well, those of you who have to go to work, away you go now and pay into that Canada Pension Plan. God bless you all. The most relaxing classical album in the world, ever, exclamation mark this morning, it's Boccherini. Little minuet. So take a minute then to... Listen to Boccherini.
Thank you.
for you there to
wow.
put you back into La La Land.
Yeah, I'll say.
Boccherini. He composed an awful lot, he did, 18th century Italian composer. Much of his work long neglected, apart from, well, excellent cello concerto and the minuet, which came originally from a string quartet, but is more usually heard in an arrangement for chamber orchestra, as we heard it there.
Right.
Thank you, the most relaxing classical album in the world, ever. You want more?
This is Jan Kochman, principal flutist of the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra. Tune in to Shades of Classics with host John Iverson on CKUW 95.9 FM every Sunday morning from 8 until 10. Great music at its finest.
There you go. You heard it here first. And again, and again, and again. 613.
Excellent.
Judy Garland, born Frances Ethel Gum. That's
right.
With two M's.
Right.
Born June 10th, 1922. Died June 22nd. So today's the anniversary, 1969, which made her, what, 47?
Okay.
So
young.
Worked her like a cart horse.
Mm.
Actress, singer, dancer. Golden Globe Award, Special Tony Award, and one of only 12 in history to receive an Academy Juvenile Award.
And friend of Deanna Durbin, right?
Well, you remember the big competition.
Yeah.
Well, we have her here from something called Mail Call, which was a radio broadcast during World War II.
Here's the little gal who's earned a number one priority in your pinup department, both in your barracks wall and in your heart, singing Johnny Mercer's Dixieland Band. It's Judy Garland.
Dixieland Band. Let me tell your brother that the music was grand. They had a piano and a clarinet. Only thing they needed was a sax and cornet. And that's what led to the ruin of the Dixieland Band. When the folks would holler for the maple leaf rag, they would get to jumping, but the music would drag. They had to keep him cause he played so sweet, but they needed someone who could give him a beat. Someone who jumped with the rhythm, rhythm of the Dixieland Band. He'd play so sweetly. Couldn't play right. Finally he fixed him on a Saturday night. He hit a note that was off the chord. Apoplexy got him and they went to the Lord. And that's the pitiful story of the Dixieland Band. Now they're up in heaven and they're happy at last, cause they found a trumpet man who really can blast. He swings and is an awful shame. He can really do it. Gabriel is his name. And now, folks, here is the sample. Listen to the Dixieland Band. Start to play. Don't you be afraid, it's the judgment day, cause it's just old Gabriel sounding his day. And the Dixieland Band is fixing to play.
Judy Garland from a CD called Mail Call, which that sounded like Bob Hope introducing her, indeed, because Bing Crosby's
right.
on this as well. Armed Forces Radio Broadcast, Mail Call, on the Laser Light label. At 6:17, Carol McKibben, on this
yes.
date, in 1812, Laura Secord, overhear some loud Americans.
Right. Yes, well.
I just worked that in. Did you?
That's right.
Yeah. And she walked 500 miles. Well, she said she would walk 500 miles.
Oh, I can
see
a song
coming.
She
wasn't Scottish, so just 32 miles.
Okay. 32, though. Well, that's enough.
You know, has this story grown as time goes by? Because, you know, if you walk 32 miles in the summer, you know what happens to your chocolates by the time you get to the other end?
Yeah,
bingo.
That's true.
What a goopy mess. 32 miles to warn the British troops. And the result? Bingo, bango, bongo, victory at the Battle of Beaver Dams.
Of course, global warming back then wasn't what it is today.
I suppose you're right.
Yeah.
Can't get more Canadian now. I'll meet you at Beaver Dams, I suppose. At 6:18.
Yes.
Right, if you'll just stand on your chair now as we search.
Okay, just
through
let
the
me
heavens.
Get out.
Right, up on your chair then, push. Yeah, we're getting something out. Yep. Covered. Right.
If it doesn't.
In his own way, Joe Lewis was a fighter for civil rights before there was a movement, and an American war hero before the nation was at war. At a time when racial bigotry afforded African Americans few opportunities in sports or most other professions, Lewis overcame racial barriers. When he defeated James Braddock in 1937 to become the first black heavyweight champion since Jack Johnson, black Americans celebrated in the streets of cities across the country. A year later, Lewis entered the ring to defend his title against the only man who'd ever beaten him in a pro fight.
A former heavyweight title holder, Max Schmeling.
His opponent, Max Schmeling, was a German boxer who had become the unwitting poster boy for Adolf Hitler's racial doctrines of Aryan supremacy. As the U.S. and Germany inched toward war, the Lewis-Schmeling match became far more than just a prize fight.
15 rounds for the world's heavyweight championship.
On the night of June 22, 1938, before a crowd of 70,000 at Yankee Stadium, Lewis climbed into the ring against Schmeling.
Right to the body, a left hook to the jaw, and Schmeling is down. The count is 5, 6, 7, 8. The men are in the ring. The fight is over on a technical knockout. Max Schmeling is beaten in one round.
The time, 2:04. First round, referee stops it. The winner and still champion, Joe Lewis.
As Lewis's hand was raised in triumph after barely 2 minutes of the first round, America erupted in celebration once more, this time by fans of every color. Joe Lewis left the ring that night in 1938, a champion of all Americans.
If it doesn't.
Of days that are past, we record a new dimension of history, a scrapbook of sounds from 13 years of violence and achievement, part of the greatest mass adventure man has yet undertaken. A voice can cut through the hazy fog of time and bring yesterday's images sharply into focus. Do you recognize this voice?
We'll hold the distinction of being the only nation in the history of the world that ever went to the poorhouse in an automobile.
That was the voice of Will Rogers, trying to teach America how to laugh its way through a depression. 1933 was dark all over the world. Japan was already in Manchuria, and the League of Nations was dying in Geneva. In Germany, the Reichstag fire was history. So was the Weimar Republic. In Italy, Benito Mussolini had translated a people's search for security into savage conquest. In rich, fertile America, fear and uncertainty lay heavy upon the land.
Our greatest primary task is to put people to work.
Franklin D. Roosevelt stood beside Chief Justice Hughes on the steps of the Capitol on that raw afternoon of March 4th, and a nation with 15 million unemployed listened.
So first of all, let me assert my firm belief that the only thing we have to fear is fear itself, nameless, unreasoning, unjustified terror, which paralyzes needed efforts to convert retreat into advance.
The first year of the New Deal was vigorous, desperate, experimental, and like a surgeon's most powerful drugs, dangerous. Franklin Roosevelt and his corps of political practitioners Hopkins, Tugwell, Moley, Wallace, and Hugh Johnson created the most controversial administration since Lincoln's. And yet, either because of it or in spite of it, the patient revived and prospered. Production and employment were up. The soup kitchens and the apple stands disappeared. But a nervous America was still not sufficiently removed from panic to disregard completely the promises and plans of political soothsayers such as Townsend, Coughlin, and Huey Long.
The bank accounts show that 1/150th part of the people own 2/3 of all the money that's in the bank. The only way by which we can ever bring this country out is to redistribute the wealth.
1936 was the year in which the state of New Jersey electrocuted Bruno Richard Hauptmann for the Lindbergh kidnapping. It was also a presidential election year. But the biggest news story was in London and concerned political intrigue, an empire, a Baltimore beauty, and the King of England. On the night of December 11th, as Big Ben tolled the hour, London cinemas were deserted, New York subways empty at their usual rush hour. In Eugene, Oregon, and Johannesburg, you could hear the world quiet down.
This is Windsor Castle, His Royal Highness Prince Edward.
At long last, I am able to say a few words of my own. I have never wanted to withhold anything. But until now, it has not been constitutionally possible for me to speak. But you must believe me when I tell you that I have found it impossible to carry the heavy burden of responsibility and to discharge my duties as king as I would wish to do, without the help and support of the woman I love.
Ancient radio waves go on and 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 on. Exactly. Voice of Edward R. Murrow there from I Can Hear It Now, which I think they did a number of LPs about. And before that, of course, Mr. Gumbel with the Joe Lewis story, the anniversary today being Ancient Radio Waves. And thank you, Carol.
Yes.
Sometimes, can you pick it up in your fillings in your teeth?
No.
No, you can't.
No, they don't have mercury in them
anymore. You are mercury-free.
Yep.
Good for
completely.
You. Yep. Free press from Friday. Nice picture of the man himself, Larry Updike, the latest from died Thursday following a diagnosis of leukemia, a brief battle with colon cancer. He's holding his guitar and a gold record from the Beatles. Headlined, most intelligent yet funniest guy, longtime broadcaster, musician. Minister, moved audiences, music and laughter. Eva Wozniak did a nice piece on him. So, born in Ontario, but he came from a religious and a musical household, ordained at the age of 21, began working wow. radio to supplement his ministerial income. Moved to Winnipeg in 82 with a show on 97.5 FM, where Tom McGoran had originally been hired. They clicked really together. Then the Tom and Larry show ran for more than a decade. They bounced around different stations as a team. He went on to host CGOB's popular morning show, spokesperson for Silo Mission, and then up to speed on CBC Radio at one right. point as well. Inducted into the Manitoba Broadcasters Hall of Fame in 2009, Queen Elizabeth II's Golden Jubilee Medal recipient for his work with the War Amps. Well, he loved to play music. He loved to play music from an earlier age, rekindled his love of performing rhythm guitar and classic country music in his retirement with his band, the B-Side Apostles. And they did a variety of jams, and they worked here and there. And then they realized, you know, where they should be playing, and that was the personal care homes and retirement centers. And that became their calling, says Mr. Boorman, who played drums with him. They had 200 shows a year. Played but would have been their last show at West Haven Retirement Home earlier this month. So, as it says here, he Updike always liked to include at least one Southern gospel tune in the set list. Larry had a deep faith in God, and that showed when we played.
And now we present Gospel Radio Gems by those wonderful songsters of the South, Doyle Lawson and Quicksilver.
I am safe, oh, lands afar, going to gates that stand ajar.
I'm riding high.
Riding high to realms above,
shining realms above.
Moving nearer to this divine, closer to joys and to be mine.
I'm riding high.
Riding high on the wings of love,
shining wings of love.
I'm riding high.
Riding high on the wings of perfect joy and love.
I'm riding high.
Riding high to realms of majesties above. With my Savior close by my side, safe to port I'll surely ride.
I'm riding high.
Riding high on the wings of love, shining wings of love. I am riding on wings secure to that home that will endure.
I'm riding high.
Riding high to realms above,
shining realms above.
Waves of beauty and pure delight bury my soul to heaven's light.
I'm riding high.
Riding high on the wings of love,
shining wings of love.
I'm riding high.
Riding high on the wings of perfect joy and love.
I'm riding high.
Riding high to realms of matchless seas above. With my Savior close by my side, safely to port I surely ride.
I'm riding high.
Riding high on the wings of love,
shining wings of love.
I'm riding high.
Riding high on the wings of perfect joy and love.
I'm riding high.
Riding high to realms of matchless seas above. With my Savior close by my side, safely to port I'll surely ride.
I'm riding high.
Riding high on the wings of love, shining wings of love.
From the CD, Mr. Lawson and his
Quicksilver
Gospel Radio Gem is the title of the CD. You can write for a free catalog, Sugar Hill Records, down in Durham, North Carolina.
Yep, when this was issued.
This came from the CBC Record Library. One of them, anyway, she asked.
Yep.
Remembering Larry Updike at 6:30. Time then for... Well, what about a jumble? You've been looking at the jumble?
Oh, well, sure.
JMBLA jumble. I've had a bit of coffee.
Okay. You ready?
I'm trying to pump up.
Okay.
Pump it up.
L-E-R-E-D.
Elder?
Yes.
I recognize that myself. I put even a mirror in front of my face. That six. That's right. Elder helping you out doing the jumble here as we try every Saturday. There's no money in it. Not
I don't
anymore.
Think there's a lot of trying. I think it just... I don't know what happens in
Heaven's
that brain
open.
Of yours.
No, that's very true, Carol. That's very, very true. 6:30, turning then to advice. Your problem solved for Dear Mary from the pages of the Spectator magazine from 2008. Question. My husband has developed an unfortunate verbal tic.
Uh-oh.
He uses the expression, if you know what I mean, with maddening regularity.
Oh.
I have tried to retrain him when at home, sit, by repeatedly saying, yes, I do know what you mean, but it does not seem to work.
Oh, dear.
I can hardly undermine him when we are out with other people. No, not probably a good idea. And I hear him using this expression about twice a minute. Incidentally, my husband himself concedes that his tic is getting out of hand.
Uh-oh.
The trouble is, as he says, it is rather an appropriate sequitur to virtually everything one says. Name and address withheld. Answer from Mary.
If you know what I mean.
Write the words, if you know what I mean, in black felt tip on a sequence of peel-off envelope labels and stick them around the house, above every light switch, on the fridge door, and above your laptop and television screens. You will soon see an end to the nuisance.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Mary. The nuisance will soon depart. Is that what she said? The nuisance? Yes, you'll soon see an end to the nuisance because he'll probably move out and hook up with his floozy, his dolly bird.
Oh,
you recognize
dear.
What that's from?
Well, the detectorists,
yes,
I think.
Yes.
Available on Tubi.
Available on Tubi. Still available, yes. Worth a watch. Worth a watch two, three times.
Many times have you watched it?
Three,
six
four,
or seven?
Three or four. Getting up there. Pages, book pages, mm-hmm. Winnipeg Free Press today.
Yes.
First big headlined, Behind Enemy Lines. A couple worked as allied saboteurs, fostering resistance against Nazis and French. Barry Craig says, this is the extraordinary chronicle of the potency of love when it's really most inconvenient. The war we won apart is a fervent masquerade of men and women with false identities dropping from the skies over France in the Second World War. So the author, Nala Ayed, that title again, The War We Won Apart. It talks about, of course, what they did, and then they had to separate. He was from French-Canadian, and she was a Brit, Sonia Butt, and French-Canadian soldier Guy D'Artois. So I won't tell you how it turns out. You'll have to take a look at it almost has the full page in today's Winnipeg Free Press. Once again, it's called The War We Won Apart by Nala Ayed.
I'm Nala Ayed, author of A Thousand Farewells, and you're listening to CKUW-FM.
Just below that, James Holland's book, Burma, 44, The Battle That Turned World War II in the East. Doesn't get that much attention, but he talks particularly, Graham Foyer reviews it, the Battle of Edmund Box, and then the role of air power, the British victory, the British Spitfire, of course. So the cohesive and disciplined nature of the British Army in Burma was remarkable, given its diverse ethnic and racial makeup. In addition to British and Indian soldiers, included units of Gurkhas and Sikhs. Six, I suppose we say now.
Yeah.
Holland says the Battle of Edmund Box has not received the attention it deserves in the historiography of the Second World War. His account certainly redresses that neglect. And I did want to mention here, we get the full schmigigi this week on the pages of the Winnipeg Free Press.
Yes.
Two things. One, Summer Reading Challenge for Kids returns for its fifth year.
Excellent.
Wake them, shake them, put their ear up against the
radio.
Well,
then we get to read the reviews at the end
That's
of the
year. That's it, exactly. Yeah. Kid-focused offshoot of the Free Press Book Club. Here, kid, try this book. Yeah. You hang around this schoolyard. Yeah, try this candy cigarette. Focus on offshoot of the Free Press Book Club. Summer Reading Challenge for Kids provides reading lists for three age groups, 7 to 9, 10 to 12, 13 to 15, curated by McNally Robinson Booksellers. Each reading list features four books, and I see an example here. Yeah, the books are listed off to the side here. Each reading list features four books with selections that should appeal to a wide range of younger readers. Once again, the launch of this year's Summer Reading Challenge for Kids offers registered readers from each age group the chance to win each of the books in their chosen reading list by filling out a giveaway entry form on the website by Wednesday, June 26th. In addition, yes, did you like it? Do you love it? You loathe it? Free Press encourages participants to write reviews about their chosen books and to offer a rating out of 5 stars. So a selection of reviews will be published in the Free Press book section in print and online both July and August. And those who write and submit reviews will be entered to win a special bonus prize. Coffee with Ron Robinson. No, kids, you don't get that. I'm sorry, you have to do a lot more than that. To find out what it is for the bonus prize, you have to register for the challenge. Very cleverly done.
Well done.
So, boys and girls, you should read today's book pages then. You can read my review of Silk, A World History by Arati Prasad.
Of the fabric.
Yes, Silk's Global History, a finely spun account. I didn't write that. That's the headline.
Excellent.
But you know that silk shirt in your closet? It's a miracle. Not a religious one, but a miracle of nature. It says so right here in the lead. That's so important, boys and girls. That first little paragraph. And keep it short. You got to hook them right then. Make them want to read the review, even if they don't want to read the book. You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So as I say at the end, so while it's not for fashionistas, reading Silk, A World History, a substance, quote, 200 million years in the making, made me wish I could slip a few mulberry trees and a few moths into the biome at the leaf in Assiniboine Park to see what would happen. I'll tell you what would happen. You'd be arrested and turfed out. Boys and girls,
yes.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
And I said, I still have my silk shirt purchased in Hong Kong. There you are, boys right. and girls. Take a look at the pages.
Does it have any mention yet of the winner of one of the essays in the magazine awards this year?
I don't think it did, but of course you're thinking of Ben Sigerson's column, Paper Chase. Best cookbooks and writing.
Mm, no.
High Plains essay. Book Awards. I see what you're saying.
Yep. Nope. Not good enough.
New book of essays. I see what you're saying here. First three books, David Robertson getting a new new covers, etc. They neglected to mention once again Jennifer Robinson, who won an award for her magazine.
Yes.
Right. There you are. Six
Prairie Fire Magazine.
Long wanted to play the High Lows, but only had, I think, one LP. But I found this in a charity shop the other day. An astonishing vocal quartet formed in 1953. Their greatest fame through the 50s, 60s. Why do they call themselves the High Lows? Because they're physical ranges. One guy was really tall, one guy was really short. Get it?
Okay.
The High Lows. Steve Allen, big
yes.
fan.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there are harmony groups, and then there are those who want to take a chance.
Right.
Ooh. Oh.
It's got the titles of two different LPs that they put on a single CD, Love Nest and All Over the Place. So issued by oldies.com. Look them up. We heard Dancing on the Ceiling, Rodgers and Hart. Or as they listed here, Hart and Rodgers.
There's a magazine called Oldies.
Oh,
maybe
that's British,
different
though.
People.
That's, yeah, yeah. These
oh, these, that's markets. An American thing. Okay.
At 6:42, Turner Classic Movie Channel.
Yes.
Let's start. We want to send them on their way and get them up and energized, etc. And boys and girls, you want to go into the theater, right? You want to get into
dance. Does
this
involve jumping jacks?
Well, it could well do. It's 11 a.m. this morning. It's a Chorus Line from 1985, directed by Richard Attenborough.
Right.
Michael Douglas is in there as well. A little something from the movie.
Okay.
Again, step, push, step, step, touch, kick. Again, step, push, step, step, strong arms. Again, step, push, sharp pivot, touch, kick. Good. Pop it. Right. Back, connect, swift. Turn, turn, right, left. Hop, step, pivot, step, touch, kick, and down. You got it? Going on and turn, turn, right, left. Chest step. 5, 6, 7, 8. Turn, turn, right, left. Chest step. 5, 6, 7, 8. 5, 6, 7, 8.
You could do jumping jacks. That
people are like perspiration flying everywhere all across the city listening to us at 6:45. That's because of Chorus Line on Turner Classic Movie Channel this morning at 11 a.m.
Okay.
2 p.m. Kramer versus Kramer, 1979. Dustin Hoffman, Meryl Streep, The War Over a Child. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. What a good film.
Nice piece on TCM where one of the directors talks about Dustin and improvising and him and the kid working together.
Oh, you'd have to.
They show
to.
A great scene from it as well. Yeah. And you never tell a child, don't do that. Don't eat. I told you, don't not eat that. Yeah. You know what's going to happen if you... Well, you think that's going to work? I know that.
Yeah.
That's another reason for having kittens and cats, I think, yes. All right. That's at 2 p.m. 7 p.m., The Go-Between.
Oh.
1971.
Is that Alan Bates?
Yes, it is, with Julie Christie looking wan.
That's the actor, Alan Bates.
Directed by Joseph Losey. 1971, 7 o'clock tonight, Sunday. At 1 a.m., The Two Mrs. Carrolls. Barbara Stanwyck, Humphrey Bogart, Alexis Smith, Nigel Bush. Woman slowly discovers her artist husband is a deranged killer. Yeah, can't go wrong.
Yeah. It's a good thing it's on in the middle of the night.
Yeah, I think I've seen it once or twice. All right, 7:15 Sunday morning. Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. Now, the 1932, and that is the one to watch out for. I'm sorry, Spencer. Spencer's raising no. You want... the Frederick March, Miriam Hopkins one. And I'm looking at movies we love. 100 Collectible Classics, Little Right Upon Jekyll and Hyde. For an audience new to sound, what we would consider the cliches of the horror genre. Sudden screams, inexplicable laboratory apparatus, warnings that there are things man was not meant to know. Mm. Or revelations. They set the stage, for the battle between good and evil. So... they actually worried back then about what these films would do to children and pregnant women. Before there was splatter, horror films could aspire to art, but few early horror pictures rose to the level of Ruben Mamoulian's definitive rendering of the Jekyll Hyde legend. Of course, they spent a lot of time on the makeup on him, and there was quite a debate. I don't think they wanted him. They wanted someone who was older, and Spencer Tracy does play him older. Hmm. But they wanted someone who was a young man. Mamoulian had a different view of what was really going on there. And not only that, but March up to that point was known for his romantic comedy roles. I still recommend highly to you, as does the movies we love.
Okay.
Which is a Turner Classic Movie Channel book. 7:15 tomorrow morning.
Yes.
You can always tape it, of course. And then at 4:30 tomorrow, Sense and Sensibility from 1995, directed by Ang Lee. Emma Thompson, Hugh Grant.
That's a
Kate
good one.
Winslet.
Yes.
Right. And by the way, of course, with the death of Donald Sutherland.
Yes.
I'm waiting. I've got a nice sobet in The Guardian, but I was waiting to see Turner Classic Movie Channel, I would think, but schedule a day.
Yeah, at least.
Of his movies. I mean, we can go back to MASH.
Yes.
Right, and you just finished reading Eye of the Needle.
Eye of the Needle, yes. Because of all the D-Day stuff. Right. And I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, but I thought, boy, why don't they show that movie?
Right,
they're showing all these other D-Day movies. And it is chilling. And I went to Tubi, and there it was. So I thought, that's
it. There you go. And Tubi is free, is it? T-U-B-I?
T-U-B-I. Yep. It's free.
Yep. So the question is simply Tubi or not Tubi.
You can watch it on our laptop. You don't have to have an app.
Bingo.
Yeah.
Finally, I'll just say that he was very pleased. You may remember it was Stamp.
Yes, I do. I have his address.
Yes, and why do you have his address?
Because he wanted everybody to send a postcard
with his stamp on it.
He was more thrilled about that stamp than almost anything else that happened in his life.
Right, you are.
Yeah. Like, forget the Hollywood Walk of Fame, Canada's Walk of Fame, any of that. The stamp.
Stood out.
Wow. Yeah, because you could send it anywhere in the world, just
exactly.
like that.
Donald Sutherland coming your way.
Yeah, yeah.
6:49.
Yes.
Died on this day, 1987. Fred Astaire at the age of 88.
Oh.
Pneumonia.
Mm.
Also known as the Undertaker's friend. Here he is, a little more lively, with from our big box of the sound of the movies.
Danny, this is no time.
Yes, it is. This is just the time. Yesterday, what was I? A carefree schoolboy. Today, what? A man with his career assured. A man with plans for the future.
Danny, don't you think you ought to be warming up?
I've been warmed up a long time. Come on. Shall I take the vocal?
Would you like to be the love of my life? For always. Watch over me to square my blunders and share my dreams. One day with caviar, next day a chocolate bar. Would you like to take the merry-go-round? I'll need you. Would make the only dream of my life come true. For the love of my life is you.
Ellen. So I'm your brother, huh? I was afraid you wouldn't make it.
You shouldn't worry about me, Brother Danny.
Ellen, I think you better leave.
No, no, stick around.
What happened, Hank?
Brother Danny here framed me with a doorman.
All I wanted was to be alone with you for once.
See that? He admits the whole thing.
Oh, now, wait a minute.
You know that doorman hit me in the lip?
He did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too
How'd you
bad.
Like to even it up?
Oh, now, wait.
How'd you like that?
No, boy, please, you have to go on in a minute. You're putting me in an awful position. Now, come on, let's forget it. I'll tell Art you're here. Good luck, darling.
Darling.
No, I'll be right with you.
Fred Astaire from the movie Second Chorus. Love of My Life, Arnie Shaw's band, vocal by Fred Astaire and dialogue by Astaire, Meredith, and Goddard. Paulette Goddard, I would think there. Yes.
Right.
From our big box of movies.
For 10 CDs?
It was. I carted it home from Toronto on the plane.
Right, so I forgot. I thought you carted it. You carted another big one home from London once.
Big box of your favorite tunes. I thought that'll do it 3 years.
Yeah.
6:53. Time now for a smile and a laugh.
Oh,
and
good.
We're back in the Chautauqua tent once again. From a charity shop find from just earlier.
Yeah, all
week.
Right.
Yes.
I have a message for you. A very sad message. My subject for this evening will be Little Bo Peep. It says here, Little Bo Peep, who was a little girl, has lost her sheep and doesn't know where to find them. Now that's reasonable, isn't it? It's reasonable to assume if Little Bo Peep had lost her sheep, it's only natural that she wouldn't know where to find it. That basically is reasonable. But leave them alone. Now that overwhelms me. Completely overwhelms me. The man said she lost a sheep. Turns right around and boldly states she doesn't know where to find them. And then has the stupid audacity to say, leave them alone. Now think for a moment, think. If the sheep were lost and you couldn't find them, you'd have to leave them alone, wouldn't you? So leave them alone. Leave them alone. It's in the book. Leave them alone. And they being the sheep, they will come home. Ah, yes, they'll come home. Oh, there'll be a brighter day tomorrow. They will come home. It's in the book. They will come home. A wagon, their tails. Pray tell me, what else could they wag? Home a wagon the day. Behind them. Did we think they'd wag them in front? Of course they might have come home in reverse. They could have done that, I really don't know. But nonetheless, it's in the book. Now, if you will kindly pick up your books and turn to page 222, we'll ask you all to sing. You'll find your books on the backs of your seats. Are we ready? Everyone, 222, let's really enjoy ourselves. Let's live it up all together. You remember Grandma's Lysol, good for everything in the home. And the secret was in the scrubbing. It wouldn't suds and couldn't foam. Then let us all sing right out of Grandma's Lysol. Used for everything. Everything on the place, the pots and kettles. Thank you. well, we're now singing the second verse. Let's fill it with a great exuberance. Let's live it up. It's not raining inside tonight. Everyone, let's have a happy time. Are we ready? All together, the second verse. Little Herman and Brother Thurman had an aversion to washing their ears. Grandma scrubbed them with the Lysol, and they haven't heard a word in years. Then let us all sing right out of them. Oh, Grandma's Lysol, sing all out. All over the plates, the pots and the kettle, the dirty dishes, and also hands, and also hands. Well, let's sing what's left of the last verse. Let's have a happy time, everyone. The last verse, all together. Everyone. Thank you kindly, kindly. Mrs. O'Malley, out in the valley, suffered from ulcers, I understand. She swallowed a cake of Grandma's Lysol, has the cleanest ulcers in the land. Then let us all sing right out of prayer.
It was big in the 1950s. Still good today. From the CD On My Radio, Top Hits of the 1950s, Volume 1 of 5, 50th Anniversary Collection.
Do you have all five?
In my Canada, no.
Oh, too bad.
I think I have the same one twice.
Oh,
the other one disappeared.
Dear.
So what was big, you're asking
yes.
me, in the 1950s?
Yes.
Nat King Cole, Mona Lisa, oh, Mona yeah. Lisa. Les Paul and Mary Ford, How High the Moon. K-Star, Wheel of Fortune. Ray Anthony with Dragnet. Just the facts,
good.
Man. Just the facts.
Yeah.
The good stuff on this, absolutely. Along, but I think the only spoken word.